Now, jobs in journalism and print media are on shaky ground. Consolidation and cutbacks at media companies and online outlets have led to the disappearance of thousands of media jobs. And those changes in the industry have left many people with little or no local newspaper coverage. Our next guest's research shows that as many as 1 in 5 Americans now lack access to a regular local newspaper. And that could have a real impact on partisanship, elections, and how well government functions. Penelope Abernathy is the Knight Chair in Journalism and Digital Media Economics at the University of North Carolina. She's author of the book Saving Community Journalism, The Path to Profitability, and produced the 2018 report, The Expanding News Deserts. She's served in the past as a business executive at the Wall Street Journal and New York Times. Penny, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, your report lays out a number of problems, the hollowing out of many newspaper departments, which we'll get into in just a bit. But let's talk about these news deserts, communities with no papers at all. How much has that been growing?
It's grown significantly over the last decade and a half. During that time, we have lost 1,800 newspapers in this country, and as a result, have fallen from 9,000 newspapers in 2004 down to only 7,000 newspapers in 2018. We're in the process of updating our database right now, and it looks like we may have slid even further just in the 6 months that since we put the report out in October. That has, I think, huge implications for both our political, social, and economic for communities that have lost newspapers and communities that are on the verge of losing newspapers.
Yeah, what does that mean for that community? And a lot of times you write in the report, this is a rural community or a small town. What does that mean for the way of life, the community, the way government functions?
Well, one of the things that we had hoped was that the Internet would open up all these new opportunities to communicate one-on-one, to let City Hall or the town council or the county commissioners know exactly what we were feeling. But what we have actually suffered a loss of is the production of actual news. So journalism has historically in this country served a number of purposes. One is that it has provided us as citizens with information about what's going on at the local level or as well as the national level and provided us with kind of a transparency to what the government is doing. So one recent study, for instance, found that a community that lost a newspaper tended to pay more to borrow money in the future just because you didn't have the typical oversight of a reporter, a professional reporter, going in reporting on what the options were for a community that was thinking about issuing a bond, for instance. So it can have lead to a lack of transparency, a lack of knowledge of what's going on, and at its worst, to corruption.
Now, this is these are places that have lost their newspaper completely. You're right, that's not the only problem, even for places that have kept a newspaper or two or three. They're not necessarily the same. They're not doing the same function as they used to. What kind of changes have you seen in those papers, local papers, that are still there?
Well, one of the things we started out was looking at what is a news desert, and our first definition was a news desert is a place without a newspaper. But what we realized is that's too simple a definition. Newspapers have historically played the role of helping us set the agenda for the debates in our community about what's really important. So if you're not getting coverage of City Hall, if you're not getting routine coverage of what of your education issues in a community, you really are kind of flying blind. And so what we've started talking about is the rise of something called a ghost newspaper. And that has occurred because of the incredible loss that has tracked right along with the loss of print advertising, the incredible loss of reporters at the local level, starting with the regional and metro reporters who used to fan out and cover the regional communities, the rural communities that were out from the major metro areas. So you've lost that, and then you've lost the downsizing of many newspapers that were small in small and mid-sized markets.
Talking to Penny Abernathy from the University of North Carolina, talking about news deserts, places that have lost newspaper coverage of local communities, either because the newspaper's completely gone or because of cutbacks in the industry that have cut back on reporters that cover many communities. Penny, you mentioned the decline in advertising revenue. That's a pretty well-known story. In your report, you also look at who is buying, owning, and cutting back at these papers. Who are some of the entities behind a lot of these changes?
Well, we had two significant factors. One was the rise of the internet, and the assumption that if newspapers just transitioned over to digital distribution, we all would be better off. We wouldn't have to worry about the print, buying a huge, expensive printing press in order to own a newspaper. But in fact, not only have we lost the print advertising at dramatic rates, they've fallen below 1950 levels when we first started tracking it. We've been unable to replace it with digital revenue at most newspapers. Only a handful have succeeded in creating digital revenue that replaces even a significant portion of what they have lost on print. So what we end up having is a situation where you have even the most dedicated publishers have had to make cuts in the basic reporting staff, in their sales and marketing staff. But in addition, we also had the 2008 recession, which not only knocked Wall Street back for a loop, but knocked out many of the remaining businesses on Main Street that were still paying for the advertising that supported reporting staff and the sales staff at many of these local newspapers. And that meant, as a result, when you lost the advertising base, that the price of owning a newspaper dropped dramatically overnight from 13 times earnings to 3 times earnings. So many papers had to go bankrupt, and those that could afford to raise money and get in and buy often tended to be the hedge funds and private equity companies that moved in and purchased large numbers of these papers in bankruptcy. And as a result, we've had the rise and the ballooning of large chains across this country.
And I saw, and I think it was in your report, forgive me if I'm wrong, a key executive at one of these companies that ended up owning a lot of papers, quote something along the lines of, we want to cut as low as possible to as small as possible the news staff and have as much as possible sales staff on hand. Is that a mentality you've seen?
Well, one of the things is that you have to think about these new owners who are basically private equity funds and hedge funds. They come in with a different mindset than the traditional newspaper owner. So even publicly traded firms like Gannett, like a Knight Ridder before it was sold, like a McClatchy or a Lee Enterprises, they actually have historically served two purposes. One was the civic mission for the newspaper where the community where they owned a newspaper, and the other was the shareholder mission. With private equity and hedge funds, their mission is primarily shareholder return. So you get an emphasis on practices that probably go against what we've traditionally expected from our locally published newspapers, even if they were owned by large chains. We expected to be able to hold people accountable for that, for at least attempting to serve the civic interest in the best way that they could while also managing shareholder return. The other issue we've had is many of these papers now have a huge number of many of these chains have huge number of papers. The largest chain in the country owns more than 450 newspapers. That's Gatehouse. Gatehouse is part of what was Fortress Investments, the private equity firm, and that is now owned by Japan's SoftBank Corporation. So you have a real lessening of community ties, a real inability of if you're in a local community somewhere in the U.S. to even know who you go to try to get the paper to be more accountable to covering your local issues or to even dealing with the needs and expectations of your local businesses.
We're talking to Penny Abernathy, Chair of Journalism and Digital Media Economics at the University of North Carolina, looking at the loss of local newspapers at local news deserts and the impact it has. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you lost a local newspaper in your area? If so, have you seen an effect on your local government, your community, the political climate? Have you seen coverage scaled back? If you do still have a newspaper, where do you go in the absence of a paper? Is there a good local news source, a website, a community effort that you point to? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Penny Abernathy, Chair of Journalism and Digital Media Economics at the University of North Carolina, talking about the loss of print newspapers, leaving many Americans without local news coverage. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you see in your community? Have you lost a paper or seen your paper merged or scaled back in some way? Is that something that worries you? Do you think it's had an impact on your community and on the coverage you read? Call 800-642-1234. Or do you see something filling the void? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard, Penny, from Ezra on Facebook, who says his area has a weekly paper that pretty much covers news of the entire county. Do you see any hope in the form of weekly papers, whether they've always been weekly or ones that have scaled back from daily to weekly?
Absolutely. I think that there are two things that will determine whether you have a good, robust news ecosystem in your community. One is where you live. We found that most places that have lost newspapers tend to have above-average poverty rates, tend to be less educated, and tend to be not only poorer but also much older. These are exactly the kind of communities who need strong newspapers. But the second thing that really determines whether you have a good newspaper is who owns you. You know, local ownership is really good because an owner there has strong ties to a community and can come up with a strategy and a vision for the paper that serves both the needs and the expectations of residents and businesses in that area. So weekly papers are exactly well positioned depending on who owns them and where they live, and if they have a very disciplined but also creative owner slash publisher who's willing to take the long-range view.
Do you see a connection between this decline in local papers and local reporters and a declining trust, at least according to surveys, in the media as a whole?
Oh, absolutely. I think trust starts at the local level. I testified before the Knight Commission on Trust, Media, and Democracy last year and made that exact same point. If you are looking for news from a national perspective, you can get everything you want off Facebook about what the latest shenanigans, either from our politicians or from our celebrities. But it's very, very hard to get the kind of information that you can use on a daily level in your community to help you improve your own quality of life as well as make decisions that can improve the quality of life of the current generation of residents as well as future generations. If we don't have town council meetings covered, which we're routine town council meetings are now routinely not covered in many communities, if you do not have someone covering the Board of Education and providing you the context for why a certain issue is important and what it means for your children and for other children who will come after, then we are missing the information we need to make good, wise decisions.
We heard on Facebook from Eric, who writes, our corporate-owned once local paper has two editions a week, even though it still calls itself the Daily Press. Now, Eric is not alone. I assume there's a lot of communities in a similar position.
Right. Well, one of the unfortunate truths from a financial standpoint is that many daily papers were actually only profitable 3 or 4 days a week prior to the rise of the Internet. But because Sunday and the weekend editions were so profitable, we could afford to put out a paper 7 days a week, the owner could. So with profit margins really down in the single digits, owners have had to make a lot of choices, and many owners have decided to cut back on daily publication the wise owner understands that that might be the direction they have to go, and they start trying to train readers and advertisers to look online on the days they might not be publishing. Reading a newspaper is an acquired habit and a behavior, and if you start tampering with that without having provided people an alternative to seek the information that they've gotten on a daily basis, you risk the alienating the current readers that you have.
People might be thinking, why focus on newspapers in particular as opposed to other news outlets? Is it just because the local news websites, local TV stations haven't risen in these communities where the newspapers have disappeared?
Well, actually, the FCC answered that question back in 2011 when they did a massive report called The Information Needs of Communities. And what they hypothesized is what several others have estimated, is that as much as 85% of the news that feeds our democracy at the local level comes from newspapers. And if you think about it, that's because newspapers have historically had many more people located in many more locations than your local TV stations. Local radio news has been cut back, and many radio stations don't have more than one or two reporters. So we depended on the local newspaper, which had many more reporters to actually be the boots on the ground, so to speak, covering the routine meetings. And then they fed into the news ecosystem what rose up to a regional level at this, for regional television stations, as well as for the regional metro papers and whatever made it into the radio, the commercial radio news hour.
Talking to Penny Abernathy from the University of North Carolina about the decline of newspapers in many communities, big news deserts. A lot of places, especially in rural and small-town America, without any local paper. Also a decline in local coverage and the number of reporters, even when you do have a newspaper out there. Penny, do you see efforts out there that could be part of a solution to this, person power shortage when it comes to local reporting?
Well, one of the things we're really faced with right now is the number of people in newspaper newsrooms fell by more than half between 2008, which wasn't even the peak of newspaper newsroom employment, to 2018. It's really hard to replace the loss of that many reporters, and consequently, the commercial television has not increased that much. We have looked at a number of initiatives to try to fill the void. One is the rise of digital sites. We noted that in our report, there have been almost 500 digital local and state digital sites that have arisen over the last in the recent years, trying to fill that news void. The only issue there is 90% of them are located in metro areas, so they don't reach into the areas where they need to reach in, and most of them are located in affluent areas that already have several media choices. The other option is public radio and public public broadcasting, which is making a number of efforts to expand and cover state and regional issues that would have been covered ordinarily, by the regional newspaper, such as the one in Milwaukee or Madison. They are trying to stretch out and cover those issues and show you how an issue that you may have is shared by many in the state, or maybe not, or maybe someone else has come up with a solution to it.
But that said, and I won't talk down the efforts we do here at Public Media, that said, we don't have a reporter at the city council meeting in a city with 2,000 people, or at the county board meeting of all 72 counties. How can we start to get that back?
Well, that is a good question. I had a couple of years ago in the rural county that I live in North Carolina, I had a local town council member come up to me and ask me how you correct a story that was on Facebook, and it turned out there had been no one at the local meeting cover the local meeting, which had apparently a controversial issue that was discussed, and the only account that lived of the meeting was the one that the mayor had posted on his Facebook page. I think it is one of those things that we as communities have to think about. We have a role in determining what kind of information gets out and what kind of information we demand from both our newspaper and from any news organizations that's there. We've looked at citizen journalists. The problem with citizen journalists is they often lack the training to provide the context for some of these issues. And they also often don't get paid. And we can only work in a volunteer function for so long until we have the money to support ourselves in that endeavor. It is one of those issues that I think we all should be very concerned about, we should care about. One of the things that alarms me the most and why I'm delighted that you have given some time to this on your program, a recent Pew report found that 50% of people, of the 30,000 they interviewed, had noticed they had less local news in their local newspaper over the last decade, but only 25% realized that newspapers were really facing dire economic consequences and that their extinction might be very real.
We'll leave it there for now. Penny, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
That's Penny Abernathy, Chair of Journalism and Digital Media Economics at the University of North Carolina. You can find out more about her research on the loss of local news coverage at usnewsdeserts.com. And if you're aware of a local news effort in your community, maybe after the loss of a newspaper, trying to get that coverage, say, of local meetings, let us know about it. Email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.